In this chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is establishing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and He is Avatari Krishna. He is non-different from the original Supreme Lord Sri Krishna of Vrindavan. And in the course of establishing this point, he first of all establishes that Sri Krishna is the origin of everything. He begins by describing, we've seen in the earlier verses, how Krishna is the origin of the Brahman, the impersonal effulgence. He is also the source of the Super Soul, the Paramatma, in everybody's heart. And he is even the source of Narayan, who presides over the Vaikuntha planets in all his majesty, where he is worshipped by his devotees in awe and reverence. That same Lord Narayan eventually manifests himself into the material creation in the form of the three Purusha avataras, Karanodakshaya Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. So in these few verses that we have read today, Kaviraj Goswami is again emphasizing the same point that Krishna is a source of not only the three Purusha avatars but also of Narayan. These verses are in inverted commas. And if you go back into the verses in the beginning of the chapter, we will see that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is debating with a hypothetical opponent who might say that actually Narayan is the origin of Krishna. Narayan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Krishna is his expansion. So in order to refute a person who proposes this, Kaviraj Goswami has spoken a long series of verses. And that culminates here with this verse. This is a very popular idea in India. Of course, in Western countries where people haven't heard of Krishna or Narayan or even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it doesn't so much make a difference. But in India, it's a big issue. Especially those who have grown up in childhood hearing about Dashavatars, the 10 avatars of the Lord. And people think that Krishna is an incarnation of Vishnu or Narayan. Many people who have heard of Krishna and Vishnu, they are not aware of there is of something called the spiritual world that is beyond this world. Where Vishnu exists in his original forms as Narayan, and they don't know also about the Goloka Vrindavan planet, where the origin of all the Narayanas, Krishna resides. Knowledge about Goloka Vrindavan has been revealed to us by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, conceptions of the Supreme Lord were mostly limited to the Vaikuntha planets in a mood of awe and reverence. In the other Vaishnava sampradayas, where Narayan is the worshipable Lord, Krishna is also worshipped, but with the understanding that he is an expansion of Narayan or Vishnu. So Kaviraj Goswami is taking pains to set the picture clear. So we can understand that this conception must have been prevalent quite strongly 500 years ago or 450 years ago at his time as well. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited South India, mostly he visited places that were the holy places of the Sri Vaishnavas, and towards the later part also he visited Udupi, which is a place of the Madhvas. When he reached a place called Sri Rangam, he visited the deity, he had darshan of the deity of Ranganath in the form of Lord Vishnu. And that is, so to speak, the headquarters of the devotees of the Sri Sampradaya. The Sri Sampradaya devotees are found mostly in South India. They come in the Sampradaya of Lakshmi Devi. And they are famous for the 12 Alvars. The word Alvar in the Tamil language means intoxicated, implying that they were intoxicated with love of God. King Kulashekhar, the famous king of South India, was one of the 12 Alvars. He wrote the Mukundamala Stotra, which Srila Prabhupada commented upon and used to quote frequently. So, when Mahaprabhu visited the deity of Lord Ranganath, who is one of the largest deities in the world, he danced and chanted in great ecstasy. And he happened to meet a Brahmana whose name was Venkata Bhatta. Now later on, Venkata Bhatta's son became Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And Venkata Bhatta's brother was later to become Prabodhananda Saraswati, also one of the acharyas in our Gaudiya line. So, as per the culture, Venkata Bhatta invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu home for prasadam. In fact, because Chaturmasya had just begun, the 4 months of the rainy season where sadhus traditionally do not travel, he requested Mahaprabhu to stay on in his house. Mahaprabhu agreed, understanding that Venkata Bhatta was actually a great devotee of the Lord. Every day, Kaviraj Goswami mentions, Mahaprabhu was invited to the homes of different brahmanas for prasadam. And there were so many invitations that even though the Chaturmasi period finished, Mahaprabhu had not finished the list of invitations. So he happily spent his days there. Everyone who used to live in Srirangam or was visiting, they were influenced very greatly by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's darshan and his presence there. They all became devotees of Krishna. They all started chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Srila Prabhupada mentions. And Mahaprabhu became very close with Venkata Bhatta. They would often discuss the pastimes of Krishna. And in that intimacy, sometimes there was some joking also. Such was a friendly relationship between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Venkata Bhatta. One time, when they were sitting together and talking about Krishna, Mahaprabhu asked Venkata Bhatta a question. He said, "My dear Bhatta, your worshipable goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, is forever situated on the chest of Lord Narayan. She is glorified in all of creation as the most chaste lady. My worshipable Lord is Krishna, and his business is to tend cows. Nonetheless, we see that Lakshmi Devi came or desired to get his association, and she wanted to enter the Rasa dance, the Rasa Leela of Sri Krishna, but she could not do so. Why is that? In fact, she performed austerities for a long, long period." So at that time, Mahaprabhu quoted a verse from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which was spoken by the wives of Kaliya, who was subdued by Krishna. Kasya anubhavo syana deva vidmahe tavangri renu sparashadikarah Yadvanshaya Shrir Lalana Charattapo Vihaya Kaman Suchiram Dhritavrata. When Krishna had subdued Kaliya by dancing upon his hoods, the wives of Kaliya later came up to Krishna and they offered many beautiful prayers. And in this verse, they are expressing their amazement at the incredible mercy that their husband received from Krishna. Kaliya was such an envious serpent. Serpents are generally envious. It is said that when somebody is very envious, then he may take birth as a snake. Because that is the propensity of a snake, to be envious. The snake is one of the few living entities that can attack you without any provocation. So, the wives of Kaliya, they understand this point of law of karma. They understand when someone takes birth as a snake, he must have naturally had some very bad karma in the previous lives. He must have been very sinful. And yet, he has received such mercy that is unobtainable even for great sages and saints. In fact, the demigods hanker for the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna. And here, our husband, who was so demoniac in nature, he received the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. Kasya anubhava vidmahe. What was the extraordinary pious activity or austerity that our husband must have performed? We don't know. Sya deva vidmahe tavangri renu sparashadhikaraha. That he got the adhikara or the good fortune or the eligibility to receive the dust of your lotus feet upon his head. And yad vanchaya, though that very dust was sought after or desired by the goddess of fortune Lakshmi, Shri Lalana. She is the topmost woman in all of creation. And nevertheless, she was desiring that very same dust. Acharat tapaha. And she performed austerities. Vihaya kaman, giving up all other desires. Suchiram, for a very, very long time. Dridhavrata, and she assumed many, many strict vows. So, Mahaprabhu said that Lakshmi Devi, she came to Narayan, she came to Krishna, desiring to get his association. So, what is the reason for this? So, Venkata Bhatta replied, well, Krishna and Narayan are one and the same person. There is no difference between the two. Goddess of Fortune Lakshmi Devi understands that this is her husband who is engaged in some sportive activities. Krishna and Narayan are one and the same. But the only difference is that Krishna engages in sportive activities. And so, Mother Lakshmi, she wants to also be with her husband when he's in that sportive mood. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that it is natural for a chaste wife to want to be with her husband when he wears different dresses. Meaning thereby that Narayan and Krishna are two different appearances of the same person. Let's extend that example a bit. Let's say the wife has come to the temple with her husband who is wearing a dhoti and a kurta. And when they go back home, then he will go to office with his suit and tie or whatever. And if she's seen outside with him when he's wearing a suit and tie, it doesn't violate her principle of chastity. She's still with the same person even though he is just wearing a different set of clothes. That's all. He may look a little different, but he's the same person. And because she is the wife of that person, she still remains a chaste wife. So, Venkata Bhatta went on to explain that because Narayan and Krishna are one and the same, this doesn't violate the principle of chastity. She still remains a chaste wife. And she just wanted to enjoy a certain transcendental happiness or bliss of this kind of pastime. And then Venkata Bhatta quotes a verse, Siddhanta tasvabhedepi Shrisha Krishna Svarupayoho. He says that in reality there is no difference between Krishna and Narayana. Shrisha, a name of Narayan is Shrisha. Shri and Isha. Isha means the Lord. So the Lord of Lakshmi is Narayana. So in this verse it is said, Siddhantatastu, it is a reality that abhede, abheda, there is no difference between Shresha and Krishna. So although there is no difference between Krishna and Narayan, Rasenotkrishyate Krishna Rupam Esha Rasasthitihi, still there is a difference. The difference is in rasa, in transcendental mellows. Rasena, from the point of view of rasa, utkrishyate krishna rupam. Utkrishyate means is better. So the Krishna form of the Supreme Lord is superior to Narayan from the point of view of rasa or transcendental mellow, even though Krishna and Narayan are one and the same. Therefore, if my worshipable goddess of fortune wishes to engage in some associate with her husband who is in a sportive mood, what fault is there? Why do you joke in this manner? So Mahaprabhu replied, well, that is correct. I agree that there is no fault on the part of Lakshmi Devi that she wants to associate with Krishna in Vrindavan. But the fact is that she was denied entrance into the rasa dance. And this is there, it's a well-known pastime in Vrindavan, that Lakshmi Devi came there, but she was not allowed entrance into the rasa leela. And the reason for this is because she did not give up her swarupa as Lakshmi, as a queen of Vaikuntha. In Vrindavan, there is only one queen, and that is Srimati Radharani. She is Vrindavaneshwari. There can be no one else. As we discussed last Sunday, as it is mentioned, all the consorts of the Supreme Lord, be they Lakshmis, be they the queens in Dwarka, or be they the gopis, they all originate ultimately from Srimati Radharani. So it is only Srimati Radharani and those who follow in the footsteps of her maidservants, the gopis, who are eligible to enter into the rasa leela, the rasa dance. So Lakshmi Devi was not allowed to enter, and she still continues to perform austerities with that cherished objective of entering the rasa leela. Then Mahaprabhu said, as opposed to this, the personified Vedas, the authorities of the Vedas, they were able to enter into the rasa leela. So what is the reason for this? So Mahaprabhu was trying to bring Venkata Bhatta from the platform of worshipping the Supreme Lord in awe and reverence as Lakshmi and Narayan to the point of worshipping Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So at this point, Venkata Bhatta said, my mind cannot enter into the mystery of these pastimes. Now I am bewildered, I cannot understand anything. But you are directly Krishna himself. So only when you explain this, may somebody like me understand these transcendental mysteries. And these things are very well known to you. So please explain this. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his explanation. And he said that actually there is the Goloka Vrindavan planet in the spiritual world. The residents of this planet, they worship Krishna. And especially the milkmaids, the gopis, their worship is extremely exalted and very, very pure. It is considered the sweetest of all relationships with Krishna. And only those who worship Krishna following the footsteps of the gopis, they alone can enter into the rasa leela of the Supreme Lord, of Krishna. But because Lakshmi Devi was attached to her sentiment or her mood as the queen of Vaikuntha, therefore she was not able to enter into the rasa leela. The personified Vedas, they were able to enter. They were able to enter because they followed in the footsteps of the gopis. And eventually they took birth in Vrajabhumi as gopis, from the wombs of other gopis. And they were able to actually participate in these pastimes. The gopis who participated with Krishna in the Rasa Leela and who were in Vrindavan, there are different categories. There are some who came with him from Goloka Vrindavan. They are the Nitya Siddha associates, the eternal associates of Krishna coming from Goloka. But they were not the only ones with Krishna. There were also others who were known as the Sadhana Siddha Gopis. They perfected their lives by performing devotional service here in this material creation for many lifetimes. And they followed in the footsteps of the gopis in the mood of serving Krishna. And they got a chance to participate in Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan in the bodies of gopis. There are, for example, the Rishichari gopis who were formerly in the Dandakaranya forest when Lord Ramachandra came. They wanted to serve the Supreme Lord in the Madhurya Ras, but the Lord said that I have taken the Eka Patni Vrata, the vow to take one wife only, and furthermore you are in male bodies here, so this is not possible now, but in your next life and in my next incarnation, when I appear in Vrindavan, then you will come and participate. So they became gopis, they called the Rishichari gopis. Chari means those who follow. Similarly, the personified Vedas, they are known as the Shruti Chari gopis. The Vedas are the Shrutis. So the authorities of the Vedas, they followed in the footsteps of the gopis, cultivated a similar mode of loving Krishna as the gopis, and therefore they also got birth in the wombs of gopis in Vrajabhumi. And they were able to participate in these pastimes. Srila Prabhupada explains in one place that they were trained up by the other eternal gopis, and so they became perfect. They were already perfect, but some slight imperfections may have been there, which were removed by their association with the Nitya Siddha gopis. So, coming back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's explanation, he said that the gopis, their love for Krishna is very exalted. In Goloka Vrindavan, the special feature is that people do not... It's a mobile phone. In Goloka Vrindavan, the special feature is that the residents do not understand or accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They do not worship Krishna in the mood of awe and reverence. Rather, their worship of Krishna is in an extremely sweet and intimate mood. And after explaining this at length, then he said, Venkata Bhatta, you yourself have quoted this verse, Siddhanta Tastva Bhedepi Shrisha Krishna Swarupayoho Rasenotkrishyate Krishna Rupam Esha Rasasthitihi. So this verse itself indicates that Krishna is superior to Narayan in rasa, and therefore he is the origin of Narayan. Krishna has something more that Narayan doesn't have. Actually, Rupa Goswami explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that although Sri Krishna has innumerable transcendental qualities, 64 of them can be identified as being the chief amongst them. And Narayan has 60 only. Lord Shiva has 55 to some degree. The Jivatmas have 50 in a very, very infinitesimal, very minute degree. So even Narayan and Krishna, they are different in the sense of having different qualities. Krishna has those 60 qualities that Narayan has in an even more wonderful or extraordinary fashion. So even though Narayan is perfect, Krishna's perfection is at even a higher level. So we find this conception in in Vaishnava theology, especially Gaudiya theology, this conception of Purna, Purnatara, and Purnatama. Perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. So elsewhere Mahaprabhu has explained that Vaikuntha is perfect, Dwarka is more perfect, and Goloka is most perfect. Or another place he says, Mathura is perfect, Dwarka is more perfect, Goloka Vrindavan is most perfect. And the corresponding lords in these places also can be understood as perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. So Krishna in Vrindavan is most perfect because he has a certain mellow, rasena utkrishyate, because he has certain transcendental mellows that he relishes, which make him most perfect. So the supreme perfection of Krishna in Vrindavan arises from his transcendental qualities which don't exist in Narayan, by which he is able to relish certain mellows. So the four transcendental qualities that exist in Krishna, which do not exist in Narayan, are, do anyone remember? Which are the four? He has a wonderful flute. What is it called? Venu Madhuri. The four sweetnesses, the four kinds of sweetness that Krishna has, which even Narayan doesn't have. So the first one is that Krishna plays the flute. Of course, even Balaram plays the flute. Even the other cowherd boys play the flute. But no one plays the flute like Krishna. We don't hear of Narayan playing the flute. We don't hear that. So it is Krishna who plays the flute, and that is extraordinarily sweet. So that is Venu Madhuri. Which is the second one? He is surrounded by loving devotees. That is which Madhurya? Prema Madhuri. Prema Madhuri means he is surrounded by loving devotees, especially referring to the gopis, Prabhupada explains. And the third? Leela. Leela Madhuri. What does it mean? He performs sweet pastimes, and Prabhupada says that this specifically refers to his childhood pastimes. In Chaitanya Charitamrita and Nectar of Devotion, he mentions like this. And the fourth one is Rupa Madhuri, that Krishna's beauty is unparalleled, incomparable. Even though Narayan is also very beautiful, but Krishna's beauty is even more than that of Narayan. So because of these four extra transcendental qualities, Krishna is considered superior to Krishna is considered superior to Narayan. So from the point of view of, shall we say, ontology, that's the right word, I think, is ontologically Krishna and Narayan are one. They are one in, they were the same person. There is no difference between Krishna and Narayan. But from the point of view of rasa or transcendental mellow, there is a difference. So Krishna is superior to Narayan from the point of view of the transcendental mellows that he relishes. So when he explained this, Venkata Bhatta was struck with wonder. And he was just hearing this and he said, I'm just bewildered by all these wonderful explanations. Now I'm beginning to understand who is Narayan and who is Krishna. So Mahaprabhu had turned upside down Venkata Bhatta's conceptions, theological conceptions. So at the same time, Mahaprabhu was very expert. So he didn't want Venkata Bhatta to really be crushed too much. So he kind of pacified him afterwards and he patched it up very nicely. He said, but actually, Venkata Bhatta, what you said is right. There is no difference between Narayan and Krishna. And anyone who makes a difference between the two is actually committing an offense. Even what to speak of Narayan and Krishna, even their respective consorts, one should understand there to be no difference between them. But he appears in different forms to reciprocate the different moods of transcendental devotion of his devotees. And then he quoted one verse, मणिर्यथा विभागेन नीलपीतादिभिर्युतः रूपभेदम् अवाप्नोति ध्यानभेदात् तथाच्युतः. The meaning of this verse is that just as there is the famous Vaidurya gem, when it comes into contact with different objects, depending on the object it contacts, it assumes different colors and therefore appears different, it looks different, the forms are also different because of that background and that contact. In the same way, rupa bhedam dhyan bhedat tatha achyuta. So achyuta is Krishna. So the devotees of Krishna, they worship him and meditate on him in different ways. There are different bhavas or moods of meditating on Krishna. Dhyan bhedat. So when there is such differentiation of the different types of meditational ecstasies on the Supreme Lord reciprocates by manifesting himself in these different forms appropriate to the mood of his devotees. So that is the reason why the Supreme Lord has different forms. Because this is one question that may often come up. Why has Krishna complicated everything by assuming so many forms? It gives rise to so many misconceptions in the minds of people. If he was just one, Krishna, then it would be so easy. Now people say Narayan is supreme, someone says Krishna is supreme, so it causes confusion. So why wasn't he just one Supreme Lord? And the answer is because there are innumerable devotees, unlimited devotees existing in the spiritual world. And they, being individuals, they all have their individuality. And that individuality is expressed through the medium of their devotional moods and mellows. They all want to love the Supreme Lord in a certain mood. So because the Lord is unlimited, he can reciprocate with these devotees by expanding himself unlimitedly. And each form of the Lord corresponds to a certain mood with which the devotees want to love him and serve him. So therefore Krishna assumes all these different forms, innumerable forms. But Krishna is the source, the origin of all of them. And then Mahaprabhu quoted this famous verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Ete chansa kalaha punsas krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakulam lokam mridayanti yuge yuge. That of all the different avatars of the Lord, Krishna is the source of them all. He is Swayam Bhagavan, the original candle that lights up all the candles, in Brahmaji's words. So Mahaprabhu concluded by nicely speaking in such a sweet way later on that he was sensitive that Venkata Bhatta's feelings should not get hurt. Such an expert preacher, Mahaprabhu always preached like that. Even when he preached to Prakashananda Saraswati or to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he always, or even to Keshav Kashmiri for that matter, he always made sure that the person whom he defeated in argument would never be humiliated. So he was very sweet, very respectful, and he would not do it in public. He would do it in a place where the person would not feel very, very offended. So he was very sensitive about Venkata Bhatta's feelings also. So therefore, in order to not crush Venkata Bhatta too much, he also pacified him and gave him this conclusion, which is correct. Venkata Bhatta was extremely happy, and then he said, "My dear Lord, now I have understood very clearly the difference between Narayan and Krishna." So there are numerous such instances in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and so on, where it is established that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all other forms of the Supreme Lord are actually emanations from Krishna. And that is the theme of this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we'll stop here for any comments or questions.